hotmarit.com. MERRITTASSEMBLY at hotmail.com. And we love to hear praise reports, good reports, love to hear prayer requests so that we can pray and believe with you for a miracle that is going to bring glory and honor to the King. So Valentine's Day, I'm very thankful for the love of my life. Her name is Cindy. And let me tell you about our first Valentine's Day together when we were dating. We were in the Chicago area, and the day on Valentine's Day, I broke a drive shaft on the streets of Chicago, and I'd never done that before. And I ended up going to a junkyard, and she and I had to crawl underneath this car in a junkyard, in a scrapyard, and pull out a used drive shaft in order to get the car fixed. And so if you ask her today, Valentine's Days have been very memorable for her, but spending it in the snow in a scrapyard, pulling out a drive shaft, she loves me very much. I love her as well. So don't forget your Valentine today. Make sure you tell them you love them. Make sure that you show that you love them. And that would be a wise thing to do. One of my favorite titles for God is that He's the lover of my soul. He's the lover of my soul. And so today, if you have a Valentine, thank God for them. If you do not have that human companion around, you do have the lover of your soul, and He is more than capable of treating you better than any human being on the planet could ever do. So happy Valentine's Day to you. We do want to remind you about our missions emphasis Sunday that is coming up. We call this our I Love Missions weekend. I Love Missions used to be our I Love Missions banquet, but we did away with the food aspect of it. It just got to be more than what we could handle at that point in time. We may bring that back at some point in time, but this coming Sunday morning, Tom Green, who is a wonderful man of God, helps people to become all that they were created to be. He travels around the country. And he's been to Merit Assembly of God before, as well as several of our men's events. And we're really looking forward to having him with us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30. He is a marvelous, marvelous preacher of the gospel. He will challenge your faith. He will inspire you. And we encourage you to come out and be blessed by the ministry of the Word of God. With that being said, we are going through the Sermon on the Mount. We have been camped out now for quite a while on the Lord's Prayer, and we are specifically talking right now about chapter 6, verse number 13, and do not lead us into temptation. And so we're talking about God's leadership, how He leads us, and I want you to stick with me through this teaching, because there's some things in there that are not necessarily thought of whenever we start talking about God leading us. And somebody was asking me one time about my research. I don't go looking for a scripture to prove my point. What I do is I go and grab all of the information and I start combing through it. And I look and I say, okay, God, what is there in here that you want me to see? What is it that you want me to learn? What is it you want me to teach? And so that's how all of this comes about. Even the series that I'm doing, it was in prayer, and God dropped a specific verse in, and it continued to expand until we are now in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. In the Lord's Prayer, like we are currently doing. So I want to take you today to the book of Psalms, And we are going to be looking at Psalm 25. And we're going to read a few verses here. We're going to read verses 4 through 11. Psalm 25, verses 4 through 11. It says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Again, this is a Psalm of David. And I think it's kind of important for us to begin at the end of the reading that I just did. And that is, "God, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." It's always helpful to remember that God didn't choose us because of how wonderful we were. He chose us in spite of how horrible we were. He chose us because of how wonderful he wants to make us, because of the great things that he can do for us. And so I'm very thankful for salvation. I tell people that I believe the initial blessing of the Lord is when he grants us the gift of repentance, where we recognize our sin, abhor our sin, abandon our sin, and begin a passionate pursuit of who Jesus is. Begin to become a disciple so that we can become more like Jesus each and every day. So if you're looking for the Lord to guide you, I guarantee you, he's not going to guide you into temptation. He's not going to guide you into sin. He's going to guide you into the perfect will that he has for your life. So let me go back to verse number 4. There was a hunger that was created in the heart of David, and it's reflected here in verses 4 and the first part of verse number 5. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." So there he is, and he's recognizing that God has something that he needs. He needs God to impart to him, to reveal to him, to teach him. And I believe that it is very important for us to remember that just like Satan and God are not on equal terms, Satan is not anywhere close to comparable to God in might, in power, in wisdom. There's no comparison. Whenever the battle between God and Satan takes place, Satan leaves a defeated foe, and it's all because of the word. I mean, there's not a bloodbath or anything like that. It's not a battle that is going to be touch and go. It's a one-sided victory for God. But just as there is that great disparity, there is also a tremendous difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. And so it's very important for us to remember that we're not here to lecture God. We're not here as a gift to divinity. We're here, and God is a gift to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave himself for us because he loves us that much. So it's very important, as God is leading us and guiding us, that we are humble enough and we say, "God, I need you. I need you as my savior. I need you as my teacher. I need you as the revelator in my life, the person who reveals your truth. I need those things in my life." And so David says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. So remember, we came through the first part of the Lord's Prayer, that God leads us as a heavenly Father. We were then in Psalm 23, where God leads us like a shepherd. And here we see two aspects. One is that God leads us in truth. We're not talking subjective truth. We're talking absolutely truth, absolute truth. I know that the world doesn't believe in absolute truth, but it's true nonetheless. You can not believe someplace exists, but it doesn't change the fact that it does exist. There are a lot of people who don't believe in hell, but hell is very real. Jesus talked about hell, describes it as a very real place. I'm going to take his authority over an opinion of man. I was in a discussion one time with a college professor who was making fun of Jonathan Edwards. And I know a little bit about the life of Jonathan Edwards and how passionate he was for God and how intellectual he was and how studious he was and what a great legacy of faith for his family he left. And this guy was making fun of him. And, you know, I wanted to say, I'm sure that Jonathan Edwards would not be shaking in his boots at the thought of debating you. A man who prayed and studied sometimes for 12, 14 hours a day. And when he preached with such conviction and such an anointing that people were leaving their fingernail prints in solid oak furniture, where they were crying out for mercy, mercy, because God was burning this message in Jonathan Edwards. I believe it's very important that that we come to God and say, God, would you lead us in truth, whether the world believes it or not, whether the majority believes it or not, whether it's abandoned, whether it's neglected. God, teach us those things that are true, not just true for the moment, but true for eternity. You know, one of the things that I have found in miscommunications is that sometimes people are saying they will make statements that are true as far as their attitude toward that particular activity or function, but it's not one of those blanket statements where they say, well, this is how I feel about everything all the time. You know, just because I say that I don't like liver, thankfully my mother never made liver, thankfully my wife doesn't make liver, Bible college they served liver, and that was always a rough night. It was always on a Friday night, and that would be a really good weekend to go home and visit mom. But if I say I don't like liver, liver makes me sick, well, it would not be fair to take that statement and say, well, Pastor Bob doesn't like to eat. I mean, if you would see me, you would realize I do like to eat, especially if we're going for Mexican food. You would find that I like to eat just almost any type of food. I didn't get to looking the way that I do, which is not, you know, excessive, but I could use to lose a few pounds. I didn't get to look like this because I don't like to eat. So God, teach us in the things that are true. Teach us, or lead us into spiritual truth. Lead us into absolute truth. By Pilate, by the time Jesus stood before Pilate, truth was a mystery. Pilate said, what is truth? The scripture says God's word is truth. It's forever true. And so don't be led around by people who are into deception. Here's the thing that I know, is if a person will lie to me about you, they will lie to you about me. And so I want God to lead me in truth, and you can rest assured that that is something that he does. He also leads us. Now, we talked about, he leads us as a holy father. He leads us as a shepherd, but he also leads us as a teacher. Okay, he is more than just interested in getting us from point A to point B. He is looking to get us to develop the skill set so that we know God's way, we know God's word, and we're going to obey that. We're going to do it because it is instilled into our hearts, not because we have to have him holding our hand in every decision that we make. Now, he is holding our hand, but, you know, it's not a matter of prayer. Did you know that the Bible says that Jesus said that the poor you will always have with you, you can help them anytime you want. Okay? And so there's something, and it's like, okay, God, I want to help them. But I want to help them in a way that is going to be beneficial to them, not as a form of bondage. I'm not into enabling. I'm really not. I'm into transformation. And so at our church, we have policies in place. We're looking to build relationship, and I'm very thankful that God does bring people out of their circumstances, but it involves God leading us like a teacher would lead a student. You want to teach them so that they can teach other people. So when you come before God, I pray that you will realize that he loves you enough to teach you the way he wants to go. He says, you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. This is a Psalm of David. If you remember, Saul was a king before David. And one of the leading sins that he committed was he grew impatient waiting on Samuel. And so he took matters into his own hands and made a big mess out of the situation. He had a way of picking and choosing what he would obey and what he wouldn't obey, and made a mess out of that situation. He just wouldn't wait for God. He wouldn't do what God said. And so God raised up David, a man after his own heart. Look at verse number 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. So, one of the things that I am very thankful for is that God does wipe away our sins, and he doesn't remember them. He blots them out of his book. He writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You and I, we need to make sure that we remember the best about people and not the worst about people. Okay? I had a conversation with someone here recently, and they know a person who used to be very active in my life, and there were some very painful moments during that relationship between this employer and myself. But when we were beginning to talk about that person, I didn't talk about the pain that person brought into my life. I talked about the gifting that God had placed into that individual that I thought was a tremendous gift to the body of Christ. So I want you to allow God to be the Lord over the things that you remember. Okay? If you're still bringing up things that your spouse did when you first got married 82 years ago, it's time to put it under the blood. It's time to put it under the blood. If you're still talking about it after you've discussed it and there's been apologies and repentance and it's happened 50 times, you need to let it go. You need to put it under the blood. Don't constantly be harping and remembering other people's sins, because you and I don't want God always remembering our sin. Okay? It says, Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. So as God leads, he leads us in truth. He leads us because he is truth. He leads us like a teacher, and he guides us if we're humble. Okay? There's four things that I want you to remember today, and that is that God leads us. He leads us in truth. That's number one. He leads us like a teacher. The third is number two. The third thing is God leads the humble. I believe it is a very dangerous place to be when we think that we have reached a place that we are no longer teachable. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you learned something? When was the last time you went into a situation and you went in to listen rather than to speak? I believe that mindset is very important. The Bible talks about the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness, that they were stiff-necked. That means that they fought against God's leadership, and they thought that they had a better course of action. As they were wandering in the wilderness, they thought bondage in Egypt was better than liberty in the promised land. They were wrong. And everybody who rose up in arrogance, they learned, but they learned in a very painful manner. I can tell you that being humble, being meek, not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought, I tell you that those traits, those characteristics, will never serve you badly. I've got a situation going on in my mind right now about a place that I was, and there was a person in the room that probably knew more than almost every other person in the room, and they hardly said a word. When we position ourselves humbly before our God, we're in a place where he can lead us. Where he can lead us. And when he leads us, here's number four, he guides us in justice. He guides us in justice. I've said it before, I will say it again. No multi-tiered justice system before God. Everything comes down to, what have you done with my son? What have you done with my son? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? Have you allowed him to lead you? Are you humbled by the fact? You see, when it comes to humility and pride, there's a couple of scriptures that are pretty sobering for me, and that is, God opposes the proud. And I have never found that God being my opponent instead of my ally has ever served me well. I don't read any place in the book where people have positioned themselves in opposition to God and they came out of that thing unscathed and victorious. I see a lot of devastation that comes. And so I tell people, if you're ever in a debate with God and you win the debate, you've lost the battle. If you lose the debate, you've won the spiritual lesson. And so I encourage you, you know, realize God opposes the proud. He opposes the proud, whether they're in government. He opposes the proud as far as finance goes. He opposes the proud if it's intellectual. He opposes the proud if it's spiritual. God hates pride. It is one of the deadly sins. Pride is horrible. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I have always found myself in the position where I have never felt like, you know, I don't need any more grace in my life. I've always found myself in the place where I said, I think a little more grace would be very beneficial for me. And I get to control how much grace I receive in my life as to how humble I'm going to become. I had a person one time that made this statement, and they said, the higher you go in God, the lower you have to go on your knees. Something along that line. Again, Bob Arthur's paraphrased version of memory. But it says, you know, the more that God uses you, the more humble you've got to become. And I would encourage us that God wants to bring us to that place where we're humble enough to realize that He is going to lead us. He's going to guide us in justice. I'm much more concerned about His righteous standard than my feelings or my emotions. And so that's one of the things that I try and do, is I try and get my emotions out of the situation so God's word will come to pass. You know what? God's word is going to come true. In fact, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced God's word is true. And I tell you what, just as I've been surprised many times by how quickly something has come to pass, you and I, we can rest assured that if God has to do a suddenly moment to bring about His promises to a place of fulfillment, He will do it. Let God teach you, or lead you like a teacher. Let Him lead you in truth. Let Him lead you because you're humble, and let Him lead you in justice. God is a marvelous, wonderful leader. Take good care of the lover of your soul today and the love of your life. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Been down without you.